Michael, good morning.
Hello, Tess.
So, for those who may not have actually heard of this situation, could you tell us what exactly the directive issued by the Premier was?
Well, look, this is this notice that sort of quietly went out early in August, and it's been emailed to the relevant people at all these various government agencies and cultural institutions. And it's also been put up on the Premier's website, but it didn't really seem to get much attention. So I had a phone call from sort of friend of a friend of a friend who sort of worked for one of these places and wasn't that thrilled about it. I think essentially what it does is tells everyone, look, the only government logo that we're going to use from now on is the Waratah. I think there have been some others in the past that were quite short-lived, like New South Wales Now or something. I can't quite remember what the other ones were. But anyway, that's all being thrown out. We're using the Waratah, and it's to be the only, basically, symbol to be used on any external marketing and advertising material. If you want to be exempted from this new rule, then you've got to apply. And so that's the situation that some of these big agencies, like the Opera House, like Taronga Zoo, now find themselves in, is having to ask to be exempted and to be able to use their own logos, which, you know, in some cases they've had for many, many years.
I think the fact that you can't remember some of the old logos does say a lot about the situation. But do we know, I guess, what the rationale behind this move was?
Well, look, you know, it was dressed up in this kind of bureaucratic speak, the usual sort of thing you hear from governments, you know, that it's about ensuring consistency or, you know, streamlining external communications of New South Wales government agencies, you know, it's sort of standard marketing speak. I don't think necessarily, look, I can see why that might work in some cases if you've got, you know, letters going out from government departments. That's kind of a different kettle of fish from, you know, the logo that you might find on the side of a museum or something, in which, you know, you don't necessarily want to walk into a place like that and see a giant New South Wales government sign standing there. So I think, look, you know, maybe to give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe they've kind of had the right intentions with this, but the way it's been executed has been fairly clumsy and has now forced these organisations to beg to be excluded from it. And that may very well happen, but, you know, you could say it hasn't been exactly well handled to apply this sort of blanket new rule to everyone and then ask people to, if they don't want to be part of it, to apply to be exempt.
So do we know exactly how, I guess, this would work in terms of distinguishing each cultural attraction from one another, or do we know if they're all just going to have the blanket New South Wales Waratah and no other branding?
Well, that's the instruction that's gone out, at least on my reading of it, and that's indeed what the New South Wales government confirms when I ask them about it, that, well, yeah, that is the direction that's gone out, but, you know, people can apply to be exempted from it, and that's the process that those agencies are currently working through at the moment. And, of course, that in turn is its own bureaucratic sort of nightmare. You've got to get your marketing people together, you've got to write up an application to be exempt from this, you've got to explain why you think you should, and then you have to go and deal with the government processes for getting an exemption. So, you know, resources and time are, you know, all being tied up in this process as well, even though in the end, you know, I kind of have a sniggling suspicion that, you know, the Opera House will be able to continue to use its sales logo and the Taronga Zoo will be able to keep using the platypus, but, you know, they're going to have to ask for permission to do that first.
And so has any of the, I guess, institutions actually lodged an application to have an exception yet?
They have. The Opera House told me that they had. The Sydney Olympic Park have also lodged an exemption. Taronga Zoo didn't comment directly to me, but I understand from talking to others that they're in the same boat. They're currently seeking that exemption. And I don't think from none of the agencies that I've talked to said that the government had gotten back to them on that yet, so that's kind of where they are at this stage.
And
but they were sort of freaking out about it, at least behind the scenes.
Yeah, don't doubt it.
get all their ducks in order and fill out all these forms and make sure that they weren't going to be taken over by this sort of new utopia-style government bureaucracy.
It's a good description, the utopia reference there, definitely. I suppose as well, if, you know, on the chance that these exemptions are denied, what is going to happen? I guess what sort of impact will it have on these icons that do have to change their logos?
Well, look, Tess, I mean, I can't predict the future. I'd be astounded if the government were to really put its foot down and go that hard. I mean, I think if you had to start to see organisations like, you know, the Art Gallery of New South Wales replace their logos with this sort of generic New South Wales government stamp, I think there'd be an outcry, and perhaps there should be. You know, I mean, that whether it actually goes as far as, you know, having to put up a giant Waratah out the front of the museum or on the front of the building, I don't know. I'd be surprised if it went that far. But, you know, I mean, this is the sort of thing that happens when, you know, you've got bureaucrats sort of get their hands on something and run with it. You know, they sort of devour the Marketing 101 textbook, or they go to a seminar somewhere run by some, you know, middling marketing director, and they think, oh, what a great idea. But sort of perhaps don't really think about what would be the practical consequences for these public-facing institutions that are much loved by the Australian public and, or the, you know, by Sydney-siders and by visitors alike. Don't really think through the practical consequences of kind of applying this, you know, marketing fad or, you know, whatever's currently in vogue in the marketing world to these real-life places.
Well, it's definitely one we are going to have to keep an eye on. Michael, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
No worries, Seth.